I've been very excited about being here. Been very excited. And I believe that God has a word for us. And I've been resting and wrestling with it. As I believe God long to speak to his people, as he always does. And so it is a joy and a great honor to be here. Pastor Barrett and I met last year in one of the pastors' meeting, actually here in West Liberty. And we met on several other occasions after that. And so I am looking forward to continue to co-laboring side by side with him for what God is doing in this community, in this region, as we work together for the kingdom. I want to thank you for the invitation. It's great to see familiar faces. Some of you are known for a while, and some I'm getting to know. Recently, I just got to meet Mr. Aulis Gasho, and so I am full of joy to be here and to share with you the word of the Lord. My wife, Rita, is with me. Rita and I met back in the days at Bluffton College as we knew it. Place has grown to now Bluffton University. I was a sophomore, she was a freshman, and I just couldn't take my eyes off her. And God has done an amazing miracle. And we have been married for a little bit over 10 years. And God has blessed us with two children, Mariah and Caleb. So without further ado, I'd like to get into the word. As Pastor said, I tend to have quite a bit to say when it comes to preaching. And my background, as he said, I am from Africa. And in Africa, we preach and we teach. And we don't have time in Africa. At least a big concept of time does not exist in Africa. We preach without watches. And but I'm reminded that this is West Liberty, and this is Ohio, and I've been warned that after the preaching, we have some food, which I think is really the best time, really, and I can't wait to get to the other side. Now, I want to follow the orders of the house here with the time that has been given to me, and so 30 minutes is good. Yeah, is that good with you? Now, if you give me the permission to go beyond that, I will, but I will respect the order of the house. Thank you. I must say that this is a miracle that I'm standing here. When Pastor and I, when I got the first email about being here, I didn't even look at my schedule, of course, but I didn't know national events that were happening. I didn't know what was going to fall on Super Bowl Sunday, really. And I didn't think about that. And so I understand this is a big day. And yet, God has a word for us. Since Monday or so, I've been just not feeling well. I've been under the weather, and I begin to pray. And I was going to talk to you about that, whether I need to reschedule, but I pray. And God said, go forth, and I will strengthen your body. And but even still there, I still cough a little bit. If there is a glass of water or bottle, I would like one nearby, as I may need a sip once in a while. All right, folks, you see, we are God people. And God loves us. And God speaks to us. God always speaks to us. As you read the book of Exodus, you see over and over, and God said to Moses, and God said to Moses, and God said to Moses. Jesus tells us that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will not speak about himself, but he will speak to us. And so one of the attributes about our God is that he speaks to us. And this morning, I come here not just to give to you what I want you to hear from me. I come here to share with you, thank you, what I believe God is saying to the church. Because God has a word for the church. You know, we live in the kingdom of God. We live in America. Yet we are not of this world, the Bible tells us. We are from his kingdom. And our king speaks to us. And so this morning I come here not just to give you what I want you to hear, but rather what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you and to the church, that we may know the mind of God, feel the heart of God, and move forth as his people to do what God wants us to do. We do not belong to ourselves. We are part of an everlasting kingdom that will never have an end, which we are part of. And our king speaks to us concerning his agenda. You have schedules. You got things that you want to accomplish. You got things that are dear to your heart. And let me propose that God has things that presses on his heart also, that he wants us to know and move forth with what he wants to do. Last Sunday, I was getting ready for bed. Now, for me, I when I get the invitation, I pray. Sometimes I'm walking, and God just gave me the word. This is what I want you to pick, to talk about. Sometimes it comes quick. Other times, I don't know. But I'm his vessel. And whatever God wants to speak, I want to submit to his will and speak to you about what he wants. When I emailed Pastor, I apologized in my email about the scripture he read. Because I'm aware that I'm in America, and to read Act 4, verse 1 to 31, that's a long scripture in America. But I felt that's the word that God gave me. I knew that. And somehow I wrestled with God giving that scripture to him. I did. I didn't want to give him that word, that verse, because I was afraid of, well, it's too long. We got to cut it short. You know, it's Super Bowl Sunday. Come on, man. We got a meal to go after that. We don't have time for this. But the more I wrestled, I knew. In fact, I wrote the email and I save it on my in the folder where I don't send it. And I went back and prayed. And I knew I was fighting with God. So I come here to speak to you about what I believe is the number one most impressing things on God's heart that God wants us to captivate and to capture and to live according to what he wants to do. We are not here on ourselves or to do what we want to do. But we are here to worship him, and he speaks to us. Thus, we move forward doing the agenda that God wants to do. Our lives are not ours. When we surrender our life to Jesus Christ, he becomes our Lord, and we become his servants, and he speaks to us about what he wants to do. And we move forth doing his will. And so last Sunday, I was getting ready to go to bed, somewhere between 9 and 10. And God spoke to me, and I knew it. And the word that I heard was, "Grant us boldness." That's all I heard. I heard that phrase, "Grant us boldness." And I didn't even know if that was a scripture. And so I tapped the word on Google, "Grant us boldness." And I began to read the writing of Peter's and Paul and the apostles and how they were being greatly persecuted. And they pray, "Oh Lord, grant us boldness that we will not be afraid to preach your word, even in the midst of being persecuted. Grant us boldness." So I begin to study that. I begin to read other verses and other scriptures about boldness and boldness and boldness. And so I pray. The more I pray, the Lord made it clear to me that he wants to send that to the church, to your church, and to the church in this region, and to the church in America, that we will have boldness to preach the good news of the kingdom. You see, I love America. I am forever in debt to America. As Pastor said, God has used an American family to save me, literally save my life. When I first came to this nation, the first couple weeks I spent at Lima Memorial Hospital, I was sick. And God used an American family to love me and minister healing unto my body. I was naked. And God used America to clothe me. When I did not have a closet or few clothes to wear, God clothed me through America. God has done great things in my life, and I do not have the time to go into my story. But God used America in my life, in my country, and I love America. I absolutely love America, and I love the American people. I do. But when I look across America, I see one thing that is missing in the church in America. You see, in my nation, and you got wonderful pews, the church where I was going to when I was there, we were sitting on rocks. And I know many of you, you read about these in the news, about a church, whether it be in Africa or Egypt or anywhere in the Middle East that is being persecuted greatly. And yet when we look at our nation, we really got it good here. We got it good. We got the Bible and every translation, whichever translation you want, pick and choose. We got wonderful sanctuaries I mean, this is just amazing building. We got everything you need at our disposal, radio, TV, books. In the name of Christianity, we got it all, really. We really got it on. When you compare what we got here to the nation out there, it's somewhat not fair. God has blessed the church. And yet, in my view, one of the things that is missing and that we need back in the church is our ability to preach the gospel with boldness, while that we will not be afraid, that we will not take a back seat, allowing the culture to advance their agenda. As I speak to you, my heart goes to America. If you look at our nation today, you can say that we need God. We have a government that do not know God or confess God or do not even consider the things of God before passing legislation. Our youth are in trouble. Today, our jail and prison are full. The state do not know what to do. Marriages are falling apart left and right, you name it. Our youth are now rebellious against their own parents. Suicides and drugs and you name it. We got so many rampant problems. Yes, in the midst of a Christian godly nation. Last year, the alcohol and the liquor company, they made an all-time record on their sale. That's the fact. In other words, more people are clinging to those things than the things of God. Folks, I love you, and I love our nation. But I'm here to tell you that God wants an awakening in the church that we will not. Hey, listen, I pray that this series, though it ends today, that this will be our lifestyle every day. Every day. That this will not be, oh, well, we are talking about this series, but this will be a lifestyle of the believer, which we are commissioned, called, and sent forth to go and do every day. I deeply pray for America. I am greatly concerned about America. So we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit back in the church. And so the verse here that we read in the book of Acts, the church was being, it was moving. The church was on the move by the Holy Spirit as God was working through the apostle. The Bible tells us that our God, he's the same yesterday and today and forever. What he did then is not just then. That God wants to continue. He is the same God. He changed not. That he wants to continue to work through his people about the preaching of the word. Somehow, I'm afraid that in the midst of being blessed as a nation by God, and God has blessed this nation. I mean, when I consider your wealth as a nation, my goodness, it makes me sometimes, oh God, have you ever gone to Africa or Haiti? 40% of the food in America goes wasted. In my country, my goodness, I used to put hot pepper on my food. just because we didn't have enough food to go around. You got a copy of my book somewhere. See, when you turn the back of that book, that at one time, that was the only T-shirt I had. God has blessed America. And I'm afraid that in the midst of being blessed by God, that somehow we just, you know, we start preaching the gospel now. You know, we start talking about, you know, retirements and two-car garage and, you know, two or three children. And we start talking about, kind of like maybe we're going to be here forever. But let me remind you that this is not our home. That we are pilgrims passing by, passing through. That this is not our home. Jesus said, I go to my Father's place and I will prepare a place for you. And when I'm done, I will come back and I will take you and you will be with me forever. Hey, listen, folks. We're just passing by. Any soldier that has enlisted himself in the military know that they don't get entangled in the civilian lifestyle. They understand that they have enlisted themselves in the military. And so they don't get entangled in civilian way of living. And we are in the kingdom of God. And we must be consumed by the things of God. We must be aching about the things that aches God's heart. I love the second song that we sung about give me your heart so that I may know your heart and do what you want to do. Indeed, that is the cry of God to us, his people. So without further ado, I want to run briefly. I don't have a lot of time to sit down and settle and break this for you to understand. But this morning, I want to give you a very brief view that you will know the mind of God. What is on God's heart right now? What is God thinking right now about us? What is the thing that is pressing on God's heart? What is the things that God's every day just can't wait to get to? That, my friend, is the gospel. Sharing the good news of the kingdom with people, ordinary folks, it is the thing that is on God's heart. The Bible tells us that while we were yet sinners, God loved us. And he sent his son Jesus to die for us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Let me read you some scriptures. Matthew 24:14 said, and this, listen to this one. In Matthew 24, Jesus tells us about in the last days, things are going to occur in the last days. You will hear about wars and rumors of wars and nation rising up against nations. And he talked about earthquakes and different calamities that is going to come in the world. And then 14, he said this, and the gospel of this kingdom shall be preached everywhere unto the whole wide world, and then the end shall come. That's what he said. I tell you one thing that is keeping Jesus from coming. You know what it is? Because God so loved the world that he doesn't want people in Syria to perish. Listen, God so loved the world that he doesn't want people from Iran and Iraq and Burkina Faso. Listen, God so loved the world. And so God is patient. According to the writing of the Apostle Peter, he said this, for God is slow in his return, not as some understand slowness, but his patience, not wanting anyone to perish, but all will come to repentance. In other words, God wants everybody in. He wants people in. The writing of 1 Timothy 2, 4 said that God desire that all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And there's so many verses in the scripture about this, that when Jesus came into the world, he went about seeking and finding the lost. This is our faith. That while you yourself, you were yet still in darkness, God came to you and you responded to the gospel. Now you are part of the family. There is nothing more pressing to God's heart than saving the lost. And today, I submit to you that there has never been a greater time for the gospel in our nation like today. There are more people who are clinging to alcohols and drugs and divorces and marriages and children. Listen, there has never been a greatest, what I feel, opportunity for the gospel than now. And we are the people that God wants to use to do that. You see, folks, everything God does and has always done, he has always used somebody to do what he wants to do. Now I want you to write that down. And I challenge you to challenge me. Everything God did, he always used somebody to do what he wants to do. When he wanted to save the world, he used Noah. When God himself wanted to come into the world, the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, "Oh, Mary, blessed are you among all women." And he began to lay down the prophetic word to Mary. You know what Mary said? "Be unto me." "I don't understand it, but I'm willing." God is always and still to this day looking for people and a vessel that he can flow through to do what God wants to do. So God always uses people to do what he wants to do. In the book of Romans, God said, "Listen, how can we hear unless somebody is sent? And how can somebody sin? How can they believe unless they hear the word?" This is the Bible. And so God sends people. God sends people. And they go forth preaching the word. The word. The word. Now, folks, I say this to you. Last year was a good year for Honda. It was a great year for Honda. Honda sold about 1,583,000 cars. They set a record. Now, those cars are manufacturers in different places. We got a plant here in our region. And they are in the business of production every day. They produce cars every day. Whether it be the Civics or Accord or Acura, they produce cars every day. Whether it be the model of an Odyssey that you want for your family, they are in the business of car production. Follow me closely. That's what Honda does. Now, when they produce those cars, But don't just stay at the plant. They have to contract with dealers. They have to have dealers on the grounds that will take those models and come to you, the consumer, or you, the consumer, goes to that, and you buy the car that you want, and you meet the need of your family. Honda, you don't go to Marysville to buy Honda. You go to the dealers to buy your car. The dealer is the middleman between Honda and you. If Honda at the plant makes the car and don't sell it, it's a waste. So guess what? They are very well structured, very well organized, and they are in the business of producing cars and selling cars every day. Everywhere. You tell us the model that you want, we will design the car for you. That's what we do. And so we get the car, we load our family, and we are happy, and hallelujah. Now, and so is the gospel. Listen to me now. God said, I sent my son Jesus. He came and died, and he made all things possible. But now, how am I going to get Jesus to the world that is lost? Listen, folks. Angels cannot preach the gospel. They are not created to preach the gospel. And so God said, you know what? I am going to send my son. And my son is going to live in you. He's going to live in you and me. And then I'm going to send you to people in Marysville, in West Liberty, in Urbana, in Campbell, Ohio. I'm going to send you. And as you go, you tell them about me. And I'm going to flow through you. Then they will hear you and say, okay, I want your Jesus. I want your Jesus. I want your Jesus. And then they respond to the gospel. And God is glorified. And the angels throw a party in heaven. What a day. Because the soul that was lost. In other words, whether you use the model of Honda or any product, I believe we got doctors here in the house. But listen to me. Those mega pharmaceutical company, you don't go there to get your medicine. They establish pharmacies in our community, and you go there. And you give your order, and you get your medicine. What am I saying? You are the person that God wants to use to preach the good news of the gospel with those that he's sending you to. You are the little man that God wants and me to preach the good news of the gospel. I close with this. And I'm going to use Pastor Barry. Please understand me. There is nothing that presses, that is so pressing on God than the gospel. And God made everything available. Jesus is with you. The angels are with you. Now he's looking for an army to agree with him so that we can work together. That's why the Bible said in the book of Ephesians 10, we are now God's workmanship, created to do good work in Christ, which God has prepared for us before the foundation of the world. What is that work he's talking about? He's talking about connecting people to Jesus through us. The good thing is this, folks, that God doesn't need you. He doesn't have to
God needs you. You may say, well, I don't have time. I can't do that. According to the book of Acts 4 that we read this morning, the Bible tells us that he used, I'm school man, I'm trained man, ordinary people, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he sent them to go, and they went. And God backed them up with signs and wonders, and they healed, the sick were healed. Those that had limbs problems, received their limbs back. And listen, blind men received their sight. This Jesus is in you. And you owe that to the world. It's not enough for us. It's great together. It's great to worship. I think it's great to go to Africa and whatever nation. I want to propose to you, America needs the gospel. America needs the gospel greatly, like Africa does. So this is what God does. Now, Pastor, I want to use you, if you don't mind. Come and stand right there. Let me read this verse. This is what God does. So he said, watch this now. It is not right for me to say to my son or my daughter, jump up here. Come on. Jump up here. Knowing that my son is only 4 years old and he can't reach here. That's not fair. I can't tell my son, go somewhere in my house and grab this for me, knowing that he can't reach the place. That wouldn't be fair to me as a father to do that to him. I'm setting him up for failure. You follow me? So listen to me. God is not going to tell you to do something that he hasn't given you everything you need to do what he's asking you to do. In other words, if God asks you to do something, he has given you everything you need to do it. If I tell you to give me $100, you got $100 in your pocket. You see what I'm saying? He's not going to tell you to do something that he knows you don't have the capacity to deliver that. He doesn't work that way. He's fair. And so,
here's what the Bible said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6. He has made us competent ministers. Competent as ministers of a new covenant. He has made us able ministers, some translation uses. He has made us, listen to me, qualified. Now he said to me, us, Jesus in his last word said to the disciple, all power and authority have been given unto me in heavens and on earth. And I'm transferring my power. I'm giving you my power to you. Now go. Make disciples. And to the whole wide world. He said, in my name, raise the sick. He said it. He said it. So, read in the book of Acts. Guess what? The apostle, they went talking about the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You will see in the story that the Sadducees and the scribe, they did not want them to speak or preach in the name of Jesus. But guess what? They prayed and asked God to give them boldness
they fled, and they went preaching the word with boldness. Now, I want to use pastor so you understand. Now, you have been a police officer in New York City. New York State. All right. State trooper. All right. Think about this now. No police officer has the right to stop you on the highway unless somebody give him power and authority to do that. Now, as a trooper, he can stop anybody in violation with the law. He has been given authority and power to do that. And so, when you go, and listen, let's say there's an incident, you need to hold the line. When you put your hand and say stop, guess what people do? Sometimes they stop. But I want to say most of the time, brother, they're going to stop. Why? Because somebody has given him power that when he wears the uniform, it's no longer Dick Barrett. He represents the state, and the state back him up with power and authority. And vested. Listen, as a minister, we don't come here on our own accord. We are sent by God, and we come to you on our own. But in his name, we come preaching the gospel to you. Thank you. I close with this. Jesus said, I send you. In other words, I'm backing you up. Go in my name. What a name. What a power to come in the name of the President of the United States of America. I don't come as John Paul. I come in the name of the President. Hallelujah. Better yet, in the name of the King of the universe, whose kingdom is forever. So this Jesus, he's in you. He's in me. And he's sending us to go at Walmart, to go in your neighborhood, to go wherever the Spirit may lead you. And he said to you, I'm with you. I'm backing you up. We're in this with you. As we travel together. And so the apostle heard that, and they were not afraid. Whether you put them in jail, it didn't stop them. Whether you killed them, it didn't matter. They went with boldness, sharing Jesus with people. And my fear today is that we have taken a back seat, allowing the media to come and preach to our children, allowing the world to transform our community, then rather than God using us to do that. I'm afraid that we have allowed the business of life to choke the things of God. I can't do that because I'm busy. I can't do that because, listen to me, the Super Bowl will go on for however hours. They're going to play the game. And nobody's going to complain about it because it's a Super Bowl. The Super Bowl doesn't glorify Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I am crying in my heart and praying that the church will return to Jesus. Because Jesus said, I am coming. I am coming. I am coming again. And we are not here to do our agenda or to do what we want to do, but to preach about Jesus and advance his kingdom. Let us replay prioritize our lives, that we will not just put Jesus in a box and talk about him when it's convenient. That the story that we sing will not just be a story that we talk about. That it will be a story that we leave. And our children one day can say, I seen mommy and daddy talk to me about Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. That we will not just talk about it. We will not just wear crosses on our neck. That we will live the faith wherever God is and sends us to. Our community is dying. Our nation needs the gospel now than any other time I can think. God is ready to do it. He said, my angels are ready to back you up. My Holy Spirit is ready, but I'm sending you. Now go. I will follow you with you. Your signs and wonders. Folks, God bless you.
Thank you for having me. I want to invite
people who are called to intercede. Some of you are called our intercessors. It's time to come back to prayer again. It's time to start praying for our nation, to start praying for the man of God that God has established here, to start praying for the church, that the will of God will be done through us. Thank you.